You are who you are yesterday, today and forevermore. What you say is what you do. You never fail, you never change. You are faithful till the end. Faithful God, I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you're too faithful to fail me.
Hallelujah.
And you're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. Sing again, you're too faithful. Oh, you're too faithful to fail me.
Jesus.
Lord, you're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life. And I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. Sing, you are who you are. You are who you are yesterday, today and forevermore. What you say is what you do. You never fail. You never fail. You never change. You are faithful till the end. Faithful God, I worship you. Oh, I worship you. You're too faithful to fail me. You're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. Hallelujah, sing it. Oh, you're too faithful to fail me. Oh, Jesus, you're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. Sing, you're too loving to leave me. God, you're too loving to leave me. You're too loving to leave me halfway. What you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too loving to leave me. Sing it, you're too loving. You're too loving to leave me. Oh, you're too loving to leave me halfway. What you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too loving to leave me. You're too committed, Lord. You're too committed to leave me. Oh, you're too consistent to leave me halfway. Hallelujah. What you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too loving to leave me. You're too committed, Lord. You're too committed to leave me. You're too consistent to leave me halfway. What you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. What you start, God, what you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. What you start, what you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
Faithful to fail me. Glory to God. You're too faithful to disappoint me. What you start, you always finish. I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. Father, we give you praise. You are the unchanging changer, the God who's loved us permanently. Oh, we worship you. We worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you that you've not left our case to anyone else. You are our advocate and you are our judge. And you have, in your loving kindness, acquitted us and granted us grace and entrance into your presence because you've given to us the gift of your righteousness. You, God, who will never fail. You are consistent. You start nothing without finishing it. Indeed, we've come to find out you finish before you start. This whole thing is rigged in our favor because love has spoken. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we declare it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so very much. This, other than yours, this has become my next favorite song, worship song. Just to know, we have a God who loves us. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, I want to continue some thoughts with us about what God is saying to us from the book of Hebrews. In a sense, this series is an unending series. But it's a reminder to us about what the Lord said. Many times we forget what the Lord said. We don't reflect on it. But if we're going to meditate on the Word of God, I believe it's important, absolutely important, that we meditate on the Word of the Word. For Jesus is the Word. He is the manifestation of what we need to connect to you if we're going to make it. To lose sight of that is to become religious. To lose sight of that is to live in a world of works and not faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is very explicit, very straightforward about what God wants us to know. Now, the Bible tells us about a lot of things that the Lord Jesus Christ began to do. And especially from the time that he rose again from the dead to when he ascended. There is this statement in the scriptures in John about the stuff that he did within those times, that particular season, that those 40 days, that John says, man, he did so much. If we start writing about it, the world will not handle the books. He was not addressing all the things that they wrote about. He was talking about what happened between when he rose again from the dead to when he ascended. It was so amazing that I think, like Paul said, you know, there's some things that we cannot talk about. You just have to experience it. And lo and behold, here I am in the year 2020, still scratching. And believe me, when I stand behind this pulpit, bringing to you the word of God, I'm not here preaching to you and talking to you and telling you this is what you got to do. I'm talking to me. Because we are all in the same boat. We all, every single one of us, need to know God. And I've come to recognize something about knowing God, that the more I know God, the more I begin to understand that I don't know God. That's the incredible thing about him. Those people who think, I got it. This is my nice special English for today. Don't got it. I'm having too many special English words. I better quit that. But you get the point. When you think you have it, you don't. The more you come to God, the more you are awed at the goodness of God, the awesomeness of God, that you say, wow. I think that's why the angels still are crying as they go round the throne of God. Holy, 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 holy. Because they've seen another aspect of God that they had not seen before. God is too big. And God is calling us, every one of us, to that reality that causes us to say, wow. And you're so wowed by God that not that you begin to take things lightly as unimportant, but you begin to press, forgetting those things which are behind. You press. Because there's so much that we cannot settle here. You know, Peter says, let's make three tabernacles, one for you, Moses, and one for Elijah. God says, don't forget that. There's too much for us to be building tents here. God is calling you and I to an extraordinary life. But if we are going to experience it, we've got to start with the things that he already told us about. Because those things are foundational. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ are foundational statements so that he can build. He promised us. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works shall you do because I go to be with the Father. He's been gone for over 2,000 years. And I've not done what he did. He's still the true God. And everything he said was the truth and is the truth and will always be the truth. So the problem is not God, the problem is me. The problem is not him. The problem is me. And the worst thing I can do is to settle for my foolish ways and think, well, it's not possible. We are only human. God doesn't address us that way. He said that we are God. God-like. He came to restore our godness. I know there's some people flipping on that right now. Oh, he said, oh, it's that guy preaching. Puff all you want. This structure of the church will not collapse because you puffed. He came to explain to us, to reveal to us who we are. If any man be in Christ, that man is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 makes a very interesting statement. I want us to reflect on that just briefly. It says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. And the last word there, even though it does not appear, is after the flesh. My focus is not to just dwell on what Jesus did while he was here on the earth. While that is good, God says, you need to go beyond that so that you can be as he is. So are we in this world, not living in fear, not defeated, but resting. Resting. The Father says, sit. Let me take care of business. Just relax. Let me take care of business and cause all of your enemies to become your footstool. Your footstool? Yeah. But your word says the earth is your footstool. Yes, that's what it says. So what do you mean? You sit so I make, because as he is, God is saying, just like the earth is my footstool, so shall it be unto you, your footstool. Why? Because Jesus is the head and we are the body. And the feet belong to the body. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Oh, well, the last time I checked, my shoulders are part of my body. So everything God wants to do, he wants to do in me and through me, by me and with me. But here I go again. Here we go again. Oh, God! Oh! God says, I've given you authority. There's power in your tongue. The power of life and death are in your tongue. I want you to speak just the way I spoke. And declare. If you have God's kind of faith, you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt, you shall have what you say. What you say. So where's the problem? The problem again is not God. Problem is me. have not recognized the power, the authority that's invested in me. I've not recognized the integrity of God, that God means what he says, that he starts something and he finishes it, because he's Alpha and Omega. All things are possible to them that believe. Hebrews 1 and 2 says, in these last days, God has again spoken to us by his Son. So I want us to consider, what did he say? If in these last days has he, God, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he created the world. You know, that last part there is so unnecessary, if it were not absolutely important, because he could have just simply said, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, period. Heir of all things, period. That's how it should be. But that's not how it ends. It continues and says, this Son who is here, he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. But guess what? God has made us also joint heirs with him. So therefore, he's saying to us, by whom you that are joint heirs, by whom I am also going to create. There's a creative force that God has placed in my life, in my mouth, and it's in every son and every daughter of the living God. But what have we created? We've created more mayhem. Oh, my cancer. No, now you're dying from cancer. Why are you complaining? Why are you praying? What are you praying about? You already say, Pastor, will you please pray for my cancer? Pray for your cancer to do what? It's yours. What do you want me to do? Will you please pray for my arthritis? Okay. To do what? You've claimed it. Will you please pray for my... Okay, if I pray for the cancer, I'm praying for the cancer to do its work. Is that what you're asking me to do? Pray for the cancer to kill you? No. You come and you say, that lying devil wants to place a disease called cancer, a spirit of disorder in my cells, and I reject that thing. Pastor, I want you to agree with me that every spirit of disorder ceases to operate in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, the word of God says, if any two of you shall agree concerning anything, it's going to be done. So, Pastor, pray with me. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of cancer trying to create confusion here, you are not allowed here. This is not your address. Pack your load. Get out. That's what we do. We don't... Please pray for my cancer. And then we have the audacity to say, well, we prayed for my cancer, it didn't work. I'm getting worse. Okay. We prayed. You say what you want. Now, While I'm busy praying, God's word tells me, if I want to be heard by God, I must not regard iniquity in my heart. You can pray all you want. There's a voice. The voice of prayer, the voice of praise. And it can be shut down by a very simple thing called unforgiveness. You want miracles, but you don't want to let go of unforgiveness. And why is that? Because you want to be the judge. You're not trusting God to deal with the issue. You're going to deal with it by yourself, by becoming bitter. I'm going to deal with these people that did this to me. How did they do this? Well, did you believe that God is with you and He will never leave you nor forsake you? Yeah, that's why I want God to deal with this issue right now. Sure, He will. But if you have embraced bitterness and God wants to kill bitterness and you have become one with bitterness, you're going to die with it. You got to separate yourself from that thing. Cast all of your cares upon me. I care. That's what the Word of God says. Is that not true? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, the Lord says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses," if you forgive men their trespasses, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So if I want forgiveness, I got to forgive. It did not say, "Your heavenly Father will forgive you." If you don't forgive, in spite of if you forgive or not, He says, if you forgive, your heavenly Father will forgive you. So the forgiveness of God is qualified by my willingness to forgive. The next verse says, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses," this is Jesus, our Lord, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," because He's going to say the same thing another way, "neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Notice the key word, Father. That means, Father means that there is a relationship. Not just God. Your Father, my Father, will not forgive you if you don't forgive. Do I think that that's a true statement? Oh, what this daughter-in-law has been doing to me? No. I cannot let this go. Don't let it go. You will go. Or you can let it be and let God. He said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," said the Lord. Somebody hurts you, just leave them alone. Put the case in the hands of God. Let God deal with it. Keep on doing what you need to do. Mark 11 and verse 25. But when you stand praying, forgive if you have off against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. What is the point here? Because here he's not talking about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He was talking about faith. Look at this, starting from verse 20. He says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. What you said just happened. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, or have God's kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whatever that mountain is, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. When you pray, believe that you receive it, and you will have it. 25. And when you stand praying, believing that you're going to receive, make sure you forgive. And if you have anger, strife against any, let it go. That your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. He's talking about faith. And here he drops right there and says, qualifier. All this your faith that you've got to move mountains and you want to have God's kind of faith. Forgive. You know why anybody's going to go to hell? Anyone is going to truly be lost. It is not going to be because God has not forgiven. God has already forgiven. You know why people will end up lost for eternity? They do not receive the forgiveness that God has already given. God is not going to ask you to do anything that he hasn't done. If he says forgive 70 times 7 in one day, that's a clear assurance to you that God will also do at least minimum the same. But I messed up 20 times today. I don't think God is going to forgive me. I messed up 20 times today. I don't think it's going to happen. Guess what? It's not going to happen. Or you can accept what God has given to you and you say, you know what? I cannot be coming back here every day asking for forgiveness for this same nonsense when I have the ability and the power of God to see this mountain removed. So you mountain that is causing me to trip day in, day out, be removed from my life. You spirit of drug addiction, get off my life. You foul spirit of pornography, Get off my life. You foul, unclean spirit of alcoholism, get off my life now in Jesus' name. Oh, I tripped again. I said move. I am not enslaved to you. I have the victory of Christ Jesus. Get, leave, leave. And you keep at it. And guess what? That spirit of drunkenness says, I don't think I'm going to win with this guy. Let's go find another fool to mess with. You don't sit down there and say, oh, well, I guess I was born that way. Born what way? Well, I guess this is how God meant me to be. I'm a man stuck in a woman's body. No. I cannot be a man stuck in a woman's body when God created me, or else it was a death. Because God doesn't make those mistakes. You know, say, oops, I think we stuck the wrong person. No. Am I saying that those things are not real? They are absolutely real. And there's a reason why it happens. It is the power of iniquity working in people's lives. There's a reason God tells us, don't be fornicators and adulterers. Because you become one spirit with whoever it is that you are involved with intimately. So when Johnny meets with Mary, John becomes one with Mary. But if Mary meets with other Johns and James, and all of a sudden you have a John here mating with this Mary who mated with John, and now since they are one, John now is mating with John. Oh, but I was in bed with Mary. No, you were with Mary and all the Johns that Mary mated with. And the first stage is confusion. And one day down the line, somebody says, oh, I'm a man, but I feel like a woman. Because it's spirit. A spirit is operating in there. That's when you say, I'm looking at the mirror right now, and what I do see is a guy. And the plumbing says, I'm a guy. The plumbing does not say, I'm a woman. Therefore, you foul spirit that's trying to confuse me, get out. Or the psychologist and the psychiatrist said, well, I should just accept myself the way I am. No, I'm accepting what God says I am. And I refuse the lie of the enemy over my life. I'm saying yes to God and no to the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. There are people who are confused by whatever it is that's happening. And you and I need to make a clear-cut decision about the grace of God, the ability of God working in our lives. I know what I'm talking about this evening is not going to be making some people jump off their couch in joy. There's some people that are going to be piping mad. How dare he say that? Well, All I'm saying is, the faith of God brings about change. But unforgiveness and bitterness will cause your prayers not to be answered. But no matter what the situation is, you have unforgiveness, you are not going to break out of that state of lack. Don't expect God to be the one who meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you're going to be living in the world of unforgiveness, that mountain is not going to move. It's not. Then you're going to blame God. God did not answer my prayer. He already told you. In Psalm 66, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. God is not answering my prayer. Ask yourself this question. Do you have wrath in your heart? Are you practicing unforgiveness? Are you bitter? Ask the question. What is the answer? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 43, the Word of God tells us, ask us simply questions that must ask, cause us to question this: what kind of a tree am I? It says in Luke 6:43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Good trees don't produce corrupt fruit, and corrupted trees don't bring forth good fruit. Jesus, our Lord, said that. Don't expect to produce good results with a bad ingredient. Verse 44. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. 65. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth, produces that which is good. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, watch this, his mouth, what? Speaketh. So the production of the evil, of the good, is in the speaking. And the speaking is based on what you have treasured. So if you're treasuring bad stuff, don't expect to speak forth good stuff. So, what are you filling your heart with? That's the real deal. What are you filling your heart with? You know, you can become an angry person, a nice person, but you can become an angry person by treasuring hurts. And initially, your angry self may be targeted at a particular person based on what that person did. But if you keep it up, you're going to have an overflow. And you're going to start getting angry with everybody. You're going to be driving down the street and swearing and cursing at other people. Somebody's way over there. 200 yards away, they're minding their own business. You're already angry at them. Look at them. You become critical and judgmental. If you are in that state where you're criticizing and just judging everybody, guess what? You've been piling up a whole bunch of stuff. You begin to transpose into other people what's inside of you. You start judging everybody, criticizing everybody. Nobody does anything right. Have you ever been around somebody who thinks there's only one way to do things? There's got to be only one way to tie your shoelaces. If you don't tie it that way, there's problems. Why do we have to tie it that way? Because that's the way I've always seen it done. Well, maybe there's another way. At the end, did we get the same results? It's only one way. Yeah, there are some things that's only one way. Jesus is the only way. I know that. But apart from that, if we're going to cook lasagna, there might be 20 ways of cooking that lasagna. Don't flip out because I didn't put the hamburger meat at the right level. It's all going to the same place. If I choose to put the cheese first before the beef, it's still going to the mouth and to the tummy. It all ends out in the drought. Give me a break. Why are we fighting about that? What's the point? What exactly is the point? Just think, it's got to be done this way. And the issue many times is about control. So control. Want to always have the last word. The only person that has the last word is the Lord. I have to be very careful what I put inside here. Guard that heart of yours, for out of it comes out the issues of life. So guard it. Protect your heart. Watch out on how you hear. What you listening to? Have you ever listened to people doing stuff and you wonder how can any reasonable person think like that? It is based on all this stuff they've been filling themselves with, and it makes absolute sense to them. Everybody sees it and says, that's crazy. That's very wrong. But it makes sense to them. Based on their bitterness. Down south, we have this issue about defunding the police. It makes a lot of sense. But makes a lot of sense only based on the hurts that people have embraced. Defund the police. I hate this mayor. Mayor saying, the same people that are defunding the police, the rioters are coming down her street. She says, I'm going to get the police to make sure my house and my family is protected. I say, look at you, look at you. So who? No. Let the police get more training so that they don't do the wrong thing. We need more that do the right thing. But bitterness will say, get rid of them. They are the problem. No, the criminal is the problem. The problem is the bad cop that doesn't know how to handle the issue. Correct that. Don't throw the baby and the bathwater out. But it makes absolute sense to the person who's saying it. Makes absolute sense. That's the problem. Because that's the history I have had with that particular group of people. Therefore, this is the problem. It's the same problem that we do have when we're talking about prejudice. I heard this person hurt this person, and that person hurt that person. What color was that person? Oh, that person that hurt that person is a black guy. So if you see a black guy walking, I don't know what's, they want to kill me. It's foolishness. Oh, that white person is going to hurt me. Really? Really? It's based on what we treasure in. It's affecting our thinking, affecting how we deal with each other. Nobody trusts any other person because of the treasures of the history, of the experience, yours and other people that have gone through the same experience. But is it true that everybody else is doing the same thing? If the country is so racist, how come we have so many black mayors? How come there are people who are rising in different levels? That's not really the problem. It is what you have embraced in your spirit that's beginning to fashion how you think, how you act, how you approach issues in life, and you have come to the clear decision that this is the way it is. Or you can begin to think differently. Black people treasure certain things in their hearts. White folks treasure certain things in their heart. Everybody acting based on whatever it is they think their truth is. So we talk about my truth. No, there's one truth. And it's founded in love. As a pastor, I've seen all kinds of people come to church. I've seen some of the most prejudiced people come to church and act, and the only reason they came to church where this black, so-called black pastor is to deal with their prejudice and prove that they are not prejudiced. Well, I go to a church where a black pastor is. I'm not prejudiced. Look at you, prejudice you. Because when push comes to shove, if we squeeze this bottle here, what's going to come out is real racism. Church that you attend does not determine whether you're racist or not. You treasure in your heart. Love people, that's nothing to do with color. We all bleed red. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good fruit, not corrupted fruit. The problem is not racism. Our problem is really our prejudices that cause us to do racist things. If we only listen to our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll walk in love. We'll just walk in love, in spirit. See, this pigment, this color that I've got, is the nicest color for my look. Because I'll look like a very ugly white person. But this is my color. And God said, what color shall we be, young man? He says, I'll give him this color. It's perfect color for me. Perfect. Grandsons and daughters, some are dark skinned and some are very fair skinned, and that's the perfect color for them. I think I have the cutest grandchildren, bar none. There's no competition here. Hallelujah. Until somebody else shows up and says, I don't think so. We'll fight on that one. But child of God, the reality is this. We are all God's people. All God's children. And we need to be careful what we put in there. Because what we put in here, based on how we're seeing the world and how we're listening to the world, it's going to determine how we respond to each other, how we deal with life, whether we walk in love and in trust or prejudge the next person and decide what they are going to be and how they are going to act. That's the problem that faces our world. Everybody prejudging, determining before they even do anything. So, a guy is walking down the street or in the park, and a lady is walking with her dog and not harnessing it to control that dog, and the black guy says to the white lady, could you please just put a leash on that dog and control that dog? You're harassing me. I'm going to call the cops on you. There's a black guy here trying to kill me. And if there's a prejudice cop, he'll come there with blazing guns, shooting somebody. Bunch of lies. Prejudging. Anyway, I sometimes go into addressing some things that are happening in our world. Because we live in this world. And to be silent about certain things means that we are not dealing with the people that God has assigned us to deal with. And Jesus dealt with people where they were at, not where he wished they would be at. Let's talk. This is the deal. And I am not liberal. I'm not an NDPer. I'm not a conservative, a Republican, a Democrat, or any. I'm just people. A child of God. Trying to make sense of what God's word is saying to us so that I can walk in peace and enjoy and relate to the saints. Thank God for this congregation. How mixed we are. Different nations, different backgrounds, but one people under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Everyone should feel comfortable here. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we just ask, O God, that you help us be all that we ought to be, that our lives, O God, clearly declares your glory. Lord, let your words, influence and control our lives. Father, in your loving kindness and grace, in your mercies, put a filter in our ability to hear, that only those things that are necessary come into our hearts and fill us. You said if we ask anything, you will do it. So we are asking, oh God, for a supernatural filter that throws out whatever it is that does not belong in our lives and allows only that which is true, that which is pure, that which is glorifying to you, that which is honorable, of good virtue. Lord, oh God, that those things will come into us and that we'll dwell on those things and be transformed by those words of truth as we rejoice in the Lord always. And so your word says, and again I say, rejoice. Thank you, Father, for the grace to be everything you say we can be. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. And all of gospel together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.